Welcome back to the, we still ain't named this. He's just kicking it right now until we figure it out.
Just kicking it. I think we should just rock with that.
Yeah, maybe just stay with just kicking it.
Yeah, what's going on?
Man, I'm good, man. Dude, this is, soccer right now is, I don't know about for anybody else, but it's like super exciting right now. I don't know if it was because of the pandemic or what.
Yeah, it's so much going on, man. It's honestly kind of hard to keep up with because the traditional time periods are off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so
I mean,
everybody's playing at the same time. Like, yeah, you got to have the TV on, your phone on, because I saw you with your phone. You got to have three things going on.
No, exactly. Exactly.
And the picture-in-picture ain't popping no more like back in the day. You know, you had the picture-in-picture going on the big TVs.
Right. You need more than that. You need multiple devices.
You need four of them. You need to have all four leagues going.
Easily, man.
Yeah, man. So, EPL Liverpool, man, locks it on up, finally, last week.
Man. Incredible, man. I'm happy to see it, man. The soccer.
I mean, y'all did it. Y'all did it for
them. Hey, you know, listen, we were in a rebuild, so let them have their shine. I had to be honest. You know, I have a certain level of hatred for your club.
I know.
So it's just always a blessing.
No, it's literally like the Royal Rumble, though, dog. It's like five clubs that everybody just don't like nobody else.
Right. And you have your conflicts with who you have your conflicts
with. And it's no allies, though. It's like every man for themselves. It's no allies.
But even hate, there's a pecking order in the hate where, you know, I can be happy for Liverpool. Out of my extreme.
And I can't have be happy for Liverpool at all. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
Because your main hatred is for Arsenal, right? Yours is Arsenal, right?
Well, in London, yes. But just overall, I just it's really more Man U? Manchester United. Because of the legacy of success. You know what I mean? Like,
but your traditional rival, hardcore rival, is Arsenal, though. Right? I mean, just in general, like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, local rivalry, for sure. But just the fact of how you guys dominated the league for such a long period of time, every season is a losing season for my club, you know, my childhood, basically, with you guys. You know?
I mean, it's basically kind of like how basketball was for a long time, man. Like, where now it's kind of more wide open, where it's like, okay, I mean, who?
Yeah, like they Boston. Make the finals?
Well, it was Boston, like, LA Lakers, back in the day. Yep.
Exactly.
That whole decade, though. Like, you got to think that whole decade. That was Boston, LA, that whole 80s.
Man. Right. So, like, you know, how are you a Pacers fan? You know what I mean? Like, you know, during that time period. Like,
I mean, I guess the Bulls would be in the 90s, but I felt like there was other competitive teams that would pop up. In the 80s, it was just Boston, LA. Like,
really? Exactly. Or even think about when you go even beyond that farther back. I mean, how Boston really dominated.
Oh, yeah, 10 years.
Russell days, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Bob Cousy and Russell.
Exactly. Hour back.
So it's good to see. I mean, I hated Liverpool getting it, man, but I think it's good for the competitiveness of the league and, like, the visuality. Because Liverpool is the Cubs of soccer.
Yeah, well – Yes, and no.
You don't think so? Like, the way their fans are, like.
Well, no. After Manchester United, they won it the second most times. It's just.
But they ain't won it like 30 years.
That's it. That you can relate to that Cubs experience, man. But I mean, no, they have a very unique fan base. They have their supreme rivals, and, you know, Everton right down the road. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's a basically inner city, you know, rivalry. And so I'm kind of happy for him, man. And then just the talent, man, and the style of play. That's really what's important. They put the ball in the net. They share the ball. It's the beautiful game.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, they play at the highest level where you, like, even though I hate Liverpool, you want to watch a Liverpool game, though, just because what they're going to bring out there. Like,
it's going to be a good watch for 90 minutes.
Yeah. Just like Man City to me, too, though. Man City's like that to me as well. Like,
I mean, product on the field.
And it's actually sad that Man City actually did not win this league. They have – I mean, go look at their roster. They have 8 forwards, dog. Like, literally, that can start on anybody else's squad. Like,
yeah. And the kind of money that's being spent, you know what I mean? The quality of the facilities, the coaching staff. I mean, you know, that's why it's so incredible when these teams, you know, when they don't do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, like, I mean, literally, I mean, 8 people, do they run out, like, 8 people at you? Like, literally, you'd be like, man, they got Marvin? I forgot. I thought they – right. Like, damn, they got –
and Guelo. Their third string.
Dude, they lost Sané and they ain't tripping. They just lost Sané to Bayern, they ain't tripping. Like, okay.
You got more where he came from. You
yeah,
know?
Like, and then they got Kess coming up from the lower league. I'm like, come on, man. Like,
right.
But like you said, because they're owned like an oil company, right? They own like the oil barons, right?
They're one of those Indian sheiks. Mm. Yeah. One of the Middle Eastern guys.
Is that why they changed the name to the Etihad? Is because of him?
No, I think that's one of their other businesses that they own. And the Etihad, that's one like what a major airline over for serving in the Middle East.
Right. You know? But that's funny though, because you think about here in the States, you would sponsor that out. That name, but you like no. We got enough paper. I'm gonna name it after my company.
Ain't no sponsored out.
Ain't no FedEx Field. What do you mean? This is Big Pen Field.
Put it up there. Yeah.
So, what do you think about for next year? Like, looking, do you think Liverpool can repeat next year, man?
I think they're in a good position to do it. I mean, I don't feel like they're really losing nothing. Age-wise, nobody's really aging out of their prime right now. So, I mean, if everybody stays healthy, and I feel like they always continue to scout, too. They do a pretty decent job of scouting. I've seen, like, some of the backups that they brought in, that Japanese guy they brought in from the Bundesliga. You know, he's not top-notch, going to be a game-changer, but he's not a major drop-off if somebody's injured or somebody's out with a red card. So, I just feel like they got the troops and definitely the coaching staff, man, like Jurgen Klopp, the kind of energy, the focus, and the, you know, again, the quality of the play on the pitch. Those things stay in position, man. I think they got absolutely a good chance of repeating. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think they will, man. And man, I think it's not going to be as big as this margin, but I think it's going to be them and Man City. Like, I don't see, like, unless something amazing happens in the offseason, like, I mean, Man City is just stupid with it, dude. Like, look at their midfield, Rodri and De Bruyne. I'm just like, come on, man. Like, this is an international squad. Like,
absolutely.
Same thing with Liverpool, though. I mean, dude, they running 10 defenders at you off the bench. I mean, on their defensive side.
They got so many quality players, man. But that's funny that you say that. So you don't really think that Manchester United has a real legitimate chance?
I mean, I think we can pop them, but I don't think we don't have depth, man. We ain't got depth. I mean, we're getting there with depth. I mean, but we got Phil Jones coming off the bench still. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got, Mata still coming off the bench. You know what I mean?
That's funny.
We're great up front. We great for 75.
I hate to dump on your boys, but I saw a funny clip, man. Maguire, he's an $80 million defender that he brought in, what, a year ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah, he's our captain. Yeah, he's our captain.
He's supposed to be top-notch, you know, mm-hmm. not only, you know, starter for Manchester United, right?
Yeah.
He's on the national team. He starts for England. And, I mean, he just got, like, some dude nutmegged him and fired the ball into, like, the upper right-hand corner and scored this incredible goal this week. And it's, like, for $80 million.
You're talking about the one he went between his legs, right? When he went between his legs.
Yeah, he just nutmegged him. Bob Holmes just – I'm like, this is incredible. That's an $80 million defender.
The problem with Maguire is he tries to do too much on the offensive end, dude. He scores goals, though. Like, he be trying to be up there in the mix. But I don't need you to be in the mix. Like, that's why I love Wan-Bissaka. Wan-Bissaka be like, yo, I'm just going to lock down this right side. If I get a goal, like, he almost had a goal in that game. And that was going to be his first goal ever.
Defend first, man, especially like a center back.
And that's McGuire's problem, and he's in the center.
Exactly. Like, that schoolboy. You know, that's what you see in a schoolboy game, not an $80 million professional, man.
But like, I think that's if we get another back, though, I think it'll balance him out, man, because Lindelof has been playing well on his other side, and Wan-Bissaka's been playing well, and Shaw's been doing a decent job. But if we get another back there, McGuire can do his thing, and we can maybe, you know, he can do his scoring thing on that side.
And I mean, we all make mistakes, and that was a mistake, but that was just incredible.
I
thought of you immediately when I saw
that. Yeah, it was horrible, man. And I mean, we have some real defensive problems because De Gea has been killing me, man. Like, I mean,
it's incredible.
You know, like, I mean, because we got Henderson down over at Sheffield killing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm cool with going to pull. I'm cool with pulling the plug on him in the Europa League, like. You know what?
I didn't want to turn this into a Manchester United segment.
It's fine. We talk about EPL. So we're going to get into Chelsea in a second with this beatdown for Sheffield in a second.
But, yeah, no, back to my other point, though. I mean, like, you may not believe that your team legitimately has a chance next year, but I believe what I'm seeing Chelsea putting together right now, I absolutely believe we have an opportunity. Now, we need everything to, you know, fall
of
the
course,
line.
Of course.
The stars to come.
But see, that's my thing, though. Liverpool and Man City don't need the stars aligned, I feel like. I feel like the stars are there.
Yes, that's true. And I recognize that. But, I mean, you know, it's a David and Goliath situation. You know what I mean? So, it's like, you got to believe.
I mean, I think the team that's going to fall off the most is going to be Leicester City by far.
Yeah. They're looking at a rebuild. I mean, their best players are in their early, mid-30s now, you know?
Vardy, to me, gets a lot of junk goals, don't he? Doesn't he feel like I've watched, like, he gets a lot of junk goals.
He is a clinical finisher, though. I mean, if you give him an opportunity, he'll put it in the back of the net. And, I mean, you know, back in the day, he had a lot more pace in his game. I mean, that was really what his – He could get into positions because of pace, but he's very clinical. But I just don't see him as the same striker that's going to, you know, hold you an entire season.
Absolutely. Because he's got to be mid-30s too, right?
Oh, yeah. He's got to be 33, maybe 34-ish.
Definitely. And then Tielemans is like 30-something as well, right?
Yeah, I think he's a bit younger, but he's not enough, man. He's not enough. I mean, he's a solid player, but he's not a playmaker.
So they're gonna have a rebuild. I mean, it's gonna be. I think it's us, y'all, Man City and Liverpool. I mean, who do you think could come? You think? I mean, do you really trust Wolves or somebody like that to really be? I mean, do you really trust Wolves? Like, I'm just saying. And I know. I was arguing with one of my guys from work. He was like, because he's a Wolves dude. I was like, man, you just don't trust that jersey. Like, and over time, like.
No,
we're not gonna let a Leicester City win the championship again ever again in this. This is never gonna happen ever again.
That was a hell of a story for Leicester City, but
right.
Man,
but I'm saying, is the league gonna let that ever happen again?
I don't think so. But again, that's just what I'm saying. The stars align kind of situation. It is possible, but I mean, you know, like they say, that's why they play the games. That's why they play the games.
So I mean, do you think a Wolves can come up into the top four situation for next year?
As it looks right now, I'd say no.
Yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't put my money on it. Would you?
No. I would put my money on Sheffield jumping in. To be honest,
even that, it's hard for me to.
Right, because we can get Henderson back too, though. We get Henderson back from loan, so that they're gonna.
and it's, you know, the off season too. I mean, that's what a lot of us, you know, who stays, who goes, new coaches. You know what I mean? So it's gonna be a lot of movement, man, and that's going to make it very interesting.
I mean, Man City, we just got to get depth, man. Like, because we finna get this Jadon Sancho thing popping. We're going to have the best midfield in Europe.
Yeah, I like that you really believe it's going to happen, man.
Who's going to have a better midfield than us?
Well, that Chelsea midfield looks incredible.
No, it's impossible.
Or what? That Chelsea.
You don't mess with Pogba, Fernandez, Sancho.
I don't. Who's the defensive holding midfielder? There's not anybody really that's going to do that, man. Like that Chelsea midfield is very, very well balanced, young, creative, pace. I like.
We don't need it when we putting up five pieces on everybody every game. That's what we putting up five pieces.
Won't last.
I got five on it, man. That's gonna be our new songs. I got five on it because we're the only undefeated team in Europe right now. Period. Since the comeback, and we're the only team to win every game except for the first game by 3 goals or more.
We've seen this before, man. Spurts.
But you kept saying it before. We ain't on spurts. We finna take y'all spot this week. Y'all already Sheffield United already get put in work for us.
It was a rough day today, man. I know. Don't let that scoreline fool you, though. Man.
Oh, no. I watched part of the game before we started, man. No. Y'all had control of the ball 80% to 20%.
Man, rough day.
I do want to talk about Pulisic, though, man. Do you think he's that positioning himself to, like, be, like, that American dude like that? Like, he is positioning himself to be that dude.
He has it. He has it all there. But I mean, you know what we've seen most recently—the performance. It looks like we're moving in the right direction. I would definitely say. And you know, everything like you're saying is prime. I mean, from like a marketing standpoint, being that American golden boy, mm-hmm. and everything that comes along with it, it's all there for him on a platter. But he's got to perform, man, to keep his name in high regard over there in that English Premier League. That's the critical component. He's got to be a guaranteed starter on a club like Chelsea in London. And then, man, he's the LeBron of it.
Do you think he's got to perform in international, too, to really take it there, too, right?
Absolutely, on the international scene. You know, and I think they're definitely going to be really looking pretty closely. To
oh, they're going to be pretty – like, because you see Claudio Reyna sign in the Bundesliga?
I know you had sent me
Hey, that dude – hey, you're only 17.
Oh, wow, I got to check him out.
And he's starting. And then you got the other dude – I forgot, the Bayern Munich's dude from the U.S. too.
Man, name on the tip of my tongue. Yeah, I was just watching him, man. He was just you know, his season's over. He ended the season as a champion. So, yeah. You know what I mean?
He's the first U.S. Champion of the German Bundesliga, right?
Yep, I believe. Well, let me think.
I thought somebody was saying that. I thought I read that somewhere.
I think that's true. Yeah, that's true. I was thinking Brian McBride for a minute, but no. No, I think that is
true. Yeah, since we're talking about the Bundesliga, I mean, basically, it's basically Bayern Munich lose. I mean, they just picked up Sané too. Now, like,
man, they got the money, they got everything on that club, man. That's basically the Manchester City of Germany.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like nobody else want to play. I mean, like, if you're gonna go to Germany, you're gonna play for Bayern, basically.
I mean, that's the best place to be.
Why you gonna go? Why would you go to Dortmund unless you're young and you're trying to, you know, develop?
Exactly, and that's just to get to the next level for another major payday.
Yep, you know what I mean? Same thing. RB is turning in there too, it looks like.
Oh, yeah, feeder club, development club.
Yeah.
And that's important. That's important. You need those. You need those.
Yeah, like, I mean, so, and this is something you could break down to me even more, though, since I've been just reading about it. Some teams strive to be that, just feeder club, just make paper off of being a feeder club.
You have to be legitimate with what your capabilities and resources are from the get-go. And that's where, you know, it's now you can kind of get in where you fit in. Like, we're not going to be – one of those teams is constantly competing on the highest of levels. But what we can be is a highly dependable, highly competitive feeder club that's given these young stars, you know, that we've identified, the time, the starts to really play the game. And now, once you really kind of take that diamond and shine it up a bit, now it's time to go sell it off for top profit and repeat the process. And so that's what you're seeing there. And, you know, Ajax is the original feeder club. Multiple, you know, clubs around the world have said, looked at that model and said, yeah, we're not going to ever be Manchester City. We're never going to be Real Madrid, but we could be, you know, Ajax of Austria. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we definitely could. And so,
maybe we can pop somebody in the chip. We don't get make the Champions League. Maybe we can get in there in that tournament scenario and pop some couple people and make it.
Just like they're doing here in the U.S. too, you know, because, I mean, now you're in the Champions League. You're getting that TV contract money, you know. So there's perks of playing that game overall, you know what I mean? And money to be made, most importantly.
Yeah, because Ajax almost won last year. I mean, if it wasn't for Spurs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, they'll go on a run. I mean, because especially, you know, when they amassing that much of youth talent, again, stars align, and maybe that's the name of this episode. When the stars align,
yeah, stars align.
They go on a run.
So let's jump into La Liga, man. Real Madrid looks like they've locked it up another year. And I won't say no names because that's not – but I feel like it's all eights. Like, if that makes sense, like, there's not – they don't have that guy that's on the front of the poster.
Right. A lot of solid eights. I like that. I think that's a good way of putting it. And they got a lot of young talent. And they also dealing with a lot of headaches, you know.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Zidane down there wilding.
Yeah, I think he's gonna bring his son in there next if he has his way. But I mean, look at it like a Gareth Bale. You know, he's on so much money. I saw they had a picture of him in the newspaper. He's at the game, you know, there's no fans. He got his mask over his eyes, sitting in the stands.
They ain't even playing him. That's just they don't even play Bale, dog.
And the kind of money that he's on, incredible.
But I mean, and nobody's going to buy him. They're not going to be able to – nobody's going to pick him up.
No, you can't get a return on that kind of investment. There's no upside. You know what I mean? Another player aging.
Yeah, because Bale's got to be early 30s too, right?
Yeah, he is. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like just dead weight on the books. You know what I mean? Go train with the kids. I'm surprised they haven't said that to him yet.
Then we look at Barca, who seem like they've fallen apart. I mean – Griezmann's talking about he won out. You know, he balled out the other game a couple of games ago, but he was talking about he won out. You know, now he's not getting his tick. They just traded Arthur to Juventus.
Yeah, I saw
we were talking about that. And you said they were just done with him. And he was like, you said, you text you sent to me, was like, they was just done with him.
Yeah, no, the writing was on the wall. He was one of those, you know, supposed to be, you know, that never.
The Eric Lindros. We're talking about the Eric Lindros syndrome.
Exactly. That's a good analogy. And man, it's rough to see Barca, man. You know, they used to be one of the crown jewels of La Liga consistently, you know, especially that Messi brand. And, and again, talk about brand of football, the beautiful game was being played. Just a shell of their former selves now, man.
I mean, like, Suarez is getting older too, right? Suarez is getting older in the tooth as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got to be on that 34, 35 kind of clip. But,
so their whole front line is 30, basically. If you're talking about Griezmann's like 31, I think, and then Messi and Suarez. Wow. So do you see Barca falling off, or do you think they got somebody in the back end that
I mean, they always got a lot of talent. I mean, they're one of those teams that does a really good job of scouting. So I would never count them out, but are they ready? I still feel like there's a time period of rebuild. And I feel like that writing's on the wall. What do you think? And I know you had something on Messi.
Yeah, Messi, man. So Messi's the rumors that Messi's gone next year.
How you feel about that?
Where does he go? Like, I mean, it's one of those things of like, unless he's going to take a significant pay cut.
In the world, your oyster in that kind of situation.
Are you saying because he's going to be a straight free agent, he can really do whatever you're saying, basically?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Does he link up with Ronaldo and we going to have this award tour though?
No, they're not even friends. There's no reason to.
I said, do you know how much money could be made?
I don't think it's about money at this point. He's got everything, man. I mean, it's not about money. I don't believe it's about money.
I guess the only thing left he's got needs is the World Cup. That's the only thing he's got that he needs, right?
Yeah. But I mean, I think, you know, that's where other options start to become attractive. Like, if you go to Asia, I mean, he's already a global superstar, but just imagine how huge he would be in Asia, like if he was playing in China somewhere.
He come in and say, like, I need a piece of the team, but like I need 15% of the squad too, and my fee?
Ownership, right? And I think that's good for, you know, like just China, for example. That's great for them as a league to say we have Messi as a part owner of the Shanghai Tigers or, you know, whoever it is. You know what I mean? And I think the same thing is for MLS. I mean, you know, where they can say, listen, this is the contract, but really the back-end money is the marketing, the endorsements, and what we're going to do for, you know, your family members as well. You know, who knows how many businesses they get popping off of his cachet.
Because, like, they're talking about Inter Miami is the one that might – is the one that's like – that's the outside shot for MLS.
That's interesting, man. I think that, you know, he goes to wherever the largest Argentine, you know, U.S. nationality base is. And I would assume that's probably on somewhere on the coast. I don't think that's the Miami area. But I think what's the connection there is that's basically the game plan to how you would get Messi is sell him on the David Beckham plan.
That's what I was going to say. That was my next question to you. That was going to be my next question.
Go to the big market, but we're going to give you your own club and ownership on the back end.
Like, does Messi, if Messi came to MLS, would it be bigger than when Beckham came, you think?
I think so. It's hard to say.
I guess because a different time, MLS has gotten more cachet now, so maybe it's bigger because people are paying attention more. David Beckham was known by everybody because of what he's known for modeling, you know, that area. But sports-wise, maybe Messi will be bigger.
It's hard. You know, it's hard to say. I mean, I would think that there's a larger English population in the U.S. versus an Argentinian population in the U.S. I would just assume, you know what I mean? But Beckham, I mean, Beckham was on Manchester United, one of, you know, your clubs in the world, you know, and Messi coming from Barcelona, large as well. You can say they're equal in, you know, name recognition globally. So it's a really interesting, very similar parallel, I think. But also to your point, being in a different time, I think now it's even easier for people on the other side of the world to now tune into the MLS, you know, the kid in Korea. and watch MLS. The kid in South Africa is very easy now to watch MLS.
Like, when did, where did MLS come on when Beckham was in the, I mean, maybe what, Fox 2 on a, like a special Saturday, every other Saturday, something like that? Like,
you would get lucky and be able to catch, you know, like Fox Sports West every once in a while. Univision was really back in the day where I would definitely catch it. Telemundo. But now you got it off in mute unless you're Spanish game.
Right.
Visuals. You know, that's how I was rocking it back in the day. I have Nas playing in the background.
Right. And then the last option for Messi, they're saying him going back to Argentina.
And that's always, I mean,
to Boca Boys, to Boca Boys, to Boca Boys.
Yeah. And that's definitely a viable option.
Didn't, who did that? Didn't somebody else do that? Who was it? The other legend. Madonna did that, right?
Maradona did.
Yeah, Maradona.
You see that pretty often. I mean, even my boy Willian from Chelsea right now, his contract's up, and he's basically saying, "I'll just go back to Brazil. I'm God there." You know what I mean?
Oh, he's talking about going back to Brazil.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, because of the payday, they'll pay him top dollar. So if it's about money, and then just being back home and having that cliche, man, that just being the man. In your hometown.
But does Messi think bigger? I mean, they say Messi's real low key, he's real quiet, you know.
Yeah, I don't think that necessarily excites him. That's why I think the U.S. becomes a real attractive package for him because, you know, the MLS ownership angle and then just what the U.S. can do for his family in general. I know he's like a family oriented guy. I mean, think if, you know, your brother can get a business, your second cousin can start a business, you want to do that in the U.S., you know what I mean, for longevity.
I mean, and then let's go to Barcelona. Like, what must be going on for him to be even considering leaving Barcelona? Like,
well, you know, it's been Erica Abidal is kind of like the club's general manager, mm-hmm. and so you know he's of African descent, you know, and there's just been a lot of bumping the heads from management and the players, you know what I mean, and how the team is not really. Reloaded, you know, so to speak. I think, you know, Messi's starting to feel that pressure. I mean, he's still performing at a higher level, but I know it's got to be more difficult, you know, at this point. And then for the management to really talk so poorly about the players, you know, where the management's been attacking the players. So I think that conflict is now where it says, okay, this one's run its course. You know, maybe it's time to go a different direction.
Yeah, so then let's get into MLS, man. MLS season's kicking back off with the Comeback Cup or the Challenge Cup or something like that. So teams have dropped out already though because of COVID.
Man, unfortunate, man. But yeah, what do you do? I guess you got to go home, man. Go quarantine.
Yeah.
Not that either one of those clubs really had a chance.
Anyway, it was like, man, we was just here anyway just to collect the check.
Yeah, basically. You know, I mean, it's important for these guys. You only live once. You don't get this time back. So I get it. You know, that's tough.
And you brought on the topics, man, and this is something that definitely people would be interested in talking about. MLS approving private equity financing.
Yeah. So Commissioner Don Garber, you know, he was being interviewed recently, you know, since the league just popped back off with the first game. And, you know, one of the things that he mentioned kind of in his state of address is that the league is extremely close, not official yet, but extremely close to allowing what they're calling private equity. And private equity, just for those of you guys out there who don't know, is a form of risk capital investment. Essentially, it's provided from an outside market. And so it essentially allows anyone who wants to buy into a business or revitalize a company, you know, you would do this sort of investment if you want to try to turn a profit by expanding a company's cash flow for a given period of time, which is going to increase the overall profitability of said organization, and then selling that for a profit. And I mean, so long story short, to recap that, the reason why they've stayed away from this from a long time is because now you only have a fair weather investor. You know, you have an investor that's there for the good times and to make money and to be gone, not in a long time investor where, you know, I want to grow an organization and allow it to have deep roots, you know, to be a historical franchise, long time, you know, perspective. So
how do you think that's going to affect MLS going forward?
Well, I think you're seeing some of that. And they're saying that basically that's essentially what your Kevin Durant's doing now. You know, it's looking at it.
Okay.
You know, he's really big in the tech companies and really big in investment. And this is what he's using now, you know, as an additional investment, you know, a financial revenue stream. So I think that's important, man. I think that's potentially good for the league to really grow it. And maybe this is, you know, back to Messi connecting some dots. Maybe this private equity is how you finance a Messi and bring it.
I see what you're saying. I see you saying with the angle with that. And I can see some cats in Miami that's got some paper down there being like, yeah, well, let's get this Miami team off the ground and pop it.
That'd be incredible, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. That Latino community, man.
That's
think
what I'm saying.
Oh, man, that could be rocking. So good would that be for the MLS to, you know, jewel like Messi in a place like Miami?
And if you won't get them too bad, it's not like when Pele came here where it was like real bad. You at least get maybe 2 good years of Messi. Even Beckham came super late.
Yeah, he did. He did super late. And you're right. The timing is perfect if you can pull this off right now. I think you get 2 years of him at an extremely high level. But with his IQ, soccer IQ, I think you get a 5-year run out of him.
Oh, you're saying because of the league itself, you can get 5 out of him.
Oh, yeah, because of his IQ in this league, I think it'll be easy.
Is it in this league? I think
the game is going to be so much slower to him. You know what I mean?
He says it's going to slow down like slow motion.
Yeah. It's, you know, like you hooping with your daughter, man. Like, I don't need the super fast crossover. You know? Easy, man.
He said this is easy. So we got one email concerning MLS. And Messi, this one's coming from, this one is from Tim Perkins. He says, question for you all on the Just Kicking It podcast. How big would MLS have a steal if they could get Messi and CR7?
Wow. You want to go first? Want me to go first?
I mean, I think would Europe want to block that almost where it'd be like a thing like y'all can't do this. Or would they not care because they're so much older?
I mean, it's truly you know, that's the thing about soccer, man. It's truly a free market. So yeah. I don't, you know, money.
You can't block me.
You can't block. I mean, you can't block.
No, I'm talking about this coming in, somebody that's coming in with a duffel bag, like, yo, we're gonna give you 30% of I'm just saying random wonder look club that's at third level.
Wherever they go, they're gonna get a big payday, and these guys already have long paper. They've had these guys have been filthy rotten rich for a long time. So additional money I don't think impresses them. I think quality of life and opportunities is what impresses them. You know, those are the things that they can go obtain that they don't currently have. And I think the US is a prime, you know, location to provide those things. But you start to see, you know, like I said, you can't rule out China. You can't rule out, you know, what some of these Middle Eastern guys will do. You know what I mean? Like, could you imagine if Messi popped up in Abu Dhabi League? You know
what I mean? He'd be down there 10 years.
You know, maybe they're building some islands for him and, you know, going to give him some crazy, you know, Dubai-style resort island, you know, where – it's bigger than the game. It's about the other long-term opportunities. But to answer his question, man, which is a really good question, I get the vibe, just my gut, that Cristiano Ronaldo wouldn't be impressed by living in the U.S.
But the funny thing is that he would fit in the most and get the and be able to really, like, get it in here, though. Like, he would – man, people would love him here with his style.
I mean, he fits with Hollywood. You see,
that's what I'm talking about, dude. Think about him on the LA Galaxy or LA FC or something.
I get the vibe from him where he's snobbish, where he would see.
That's why LA. I would be even better. That's my point.
I don't see it, man.
Him sitting out with a Ben Affleck or something at the club. You know, like, I mean.
Yeah.
I couldn't see Messi hanging out though, kicking it. You know what I mean? Like, but CR7 to be out in them streets. I mean, CR7 got like, what, 4 baby moms?
Didn't he do artificial insemination?
Right, but it was crazy though. But like, you don't even know who the chick is though. He just showed up with his baby. Like,
but hey, listen, if I had a lady that looked like his lady, I don't think I would mess that up with a CD.
But he does have two other kids by two other women though, too.
Yeah, he's on that Michael Jackson program. But, you know what I mean? They just signed some paperwork and got a check. That's it.
And he don't even know who they are though. That's the crazy thing. Like, yo, like.
Yeah, but I mean, it's all about preserving his leg. That's what that's about.
You can see him being. You couldn't see him being on the. You see how Zlatan, how big Zlatan got though, being on the Galaxy. Think about CR7 up in there.
Yeah, man. I guess I can see it. I wouldn't rule it out.
And then you can make it even spicier and put Messi on LAFC and just really have go at it.
Oh wow. That would be incredible. That really would.
I don't think someone like, I know Seattle and Portland have a big rivalry, but I don't see them fitting in like a place like that. Or like, it's gotta be like, I don't even see them fitting in New York. It's gotta be like a Miami, it's really only three clubs, really Miami and the two LA ones. Really?
You gotta have that Latino, that Latino Hispanic population. But yeah, the Portland, Seattle, I think the market's too small.
I don't even think New York would even work, or DC even, right? Maybe Atlanta. You think? Oh, maybe Atlanta.
Maybe Atlanta. Maybe a Houston could pull it off. Maybe.
Oh yeah, and just had the whole Texas down, and then have one go to Dallas, one go to Houston.
I don't know. I don't know if you do it that way. I think you would take advantage of your largest market
and just send them to LA. Just send them both to LA.
You pretty much have to. You pretty much have to.
Because then you just have a tour with both of them to all the other teams, getting paper on every other. Like,
sell out everywhere. It'd be a traveling circus. True. Yeah.
It'd be like, remember that movie with Billy Dee Williams, Bingo Long, and the Traveling All Stars, where it'd be like they were talking.
Oh yeah, and I mean they have an international, media, party following them for sure. Absolutely.
All right, man. Champions League draw came out, man.
What you think of it?
I think it's real. My first initial thought was it was set up for PSG to go to the finals. But more if I looked at it and I thought about Atletico Madrid and they did pop Liverpool, it's maybe not as easy as it just visually looking at it, just seeing the names of the teams. At first, you're like, right. Damn, PSG gonna walk through it. Man, but Atletico gonna put that defense on you.
I've never been good at calling Champions League. I gotta be real with myself, man. It's like a roll of the dice, Like you're looking at the names on paper, and you start feeling like you should be able to call it. But I mean, anything can happen. And like some of these games, and there's some really remote locations. On a cold, rainy, windy night, anything can happen, man.
Because everything is in Portugal too, right? Because everything is in Portugal for that too. So, and it's only one games. No home and away either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for Europa and for Champions League. Only is one that, game sentence because they felt it's not fair for them because it's only in one country.
Ah, I see. Okay. Well, the COVID.
It's not fair for you to have to turn around and play the same team right again in Lisbon again the next day. In 3 days.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Man, I guess that's why they
– So, actually, games, it is so. March Madness now. If you think about it, it is March Madness in one game scenario.
It's a tournament and basically a neutral site now. Yeah. So, yeah. Be exciting to watch, man.
And actually, PSG hasn't played in, 4 months?
It's just hard to say, who's conditioned, who's not, These guys coming from a lot of different places.
Yeah. I'm surprised they set up the bracket like this. My thing is, I know the ball's coming away, the ball's dropped, but somebody need to go ahead and change these balls around and move Real Madrid, Man City up top. If you could have that supreme final.
Man, that's what they want. That's what they want.
You don't want another Spurs versus Liverpool final, man. That's one of the most boring Champions League finals I've ever seen in my life, dog.
Right. Yeah. It's tough, though, man. That's the draw's the draw.
Yeah, the draw's the draw. I guess we can just go game by game. Since we can't say who's going to win it all, but we can kind of say, okay, this game. So you have
let's
call an individual game.
Let's jot down who calls what and then revisit this next time.
All right. So we got up top. Let me pull up here. Let's do Champions League first. So we have the bracket itself is looking like this. So up top we have RB Leipzig is taking on Atletico Madrid. Now, one of my homies like, man, Leipzig might bring it. I was like, Werner's already going to be gone to Chelsea at this point.
Right.
He's already gone to y'all already. So what kind of Leipzig team are we going to be getting here? We're just going to basically have Poulsen and a whole bunch of other cats at this point.
Yeah, I definitely got to put my money on Atletico. Just, I mean, your point's really, really valid. I mean, they could bring in some studs with that money in between now and then. You know, I have no clue on, you know, what the development players, you know, the youth system looks like there. But Atletico, we know the product that they consistently bring to the table. The league is competitive that they play in. So, yeah, I'm going to go Atletico.
All right. And then we have on the other side, PSG. We taking on Atalanta, which is basically the Spurs of this year.
What do you think there, man?
I mean, it's a one-game scenario, but there's no way in hell PSG should let Atlanta beat them.
It shouldn't.
I mean,
on paper.
I mean, if you look at Atlanta's like ride to the, they barely got into the next qualifying round. They had to have like a miracle game in qualifying to make it. They had a miracle game in the second leg where everybody got COVID. You know, that's what they said. Everybody got COVID at, right? You know, that's like they said that was like the beginning of the Italy blowing up. With it was that game.
Okay, that's what I was gonna say. That's right around that time where Italy was like exploding with COVID. So.
Yeah, they did a whole thing on Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. That was like literally the beginning of like, because Atlanta had never made the Champions League ever in their history, and then to make it to the round of 16, it was like, you know, everybody was there.
Man, you know, it should be easy to pick this and say PSG, but I'm never really am a firm believer in PSG's abilities. I mean,
they get popped, you know, man. They get popped. I mean, we popped them last year and we shouldn't have.
You know, like they lose a lot of games that they shouldn't. I'm going to go with Atlanta, you know,
You're going to keep the Cinderella story going. The Cinderella story continues.
Roll the dice, man. I'm gonna roll the dice on
the Cinderella story continues.
Gotta have it, man. You gotta have a dark horse.
All right, and then Chelsea versus Bayern Munich. Y'all think I can overcome this? What is it? 3-0, 4-0?
Man, you choose your brain or your heart.
Or do y'all just pack it up and say we ready for next season coming up?
I gotta go with the badge, man. You know,
so man, is it in Chelsea or is it in Bayern? Is this game Chelsea or Bayern, or is it going to be in Portugal? Because I know Man City, Real is going to be at the Etihad.
Doesn't matter. This is Chelsea we talking about. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, man. Come on, don't ask
and,
me.
And is Werner playing in this or not?
I don't believe he is. I don't believe
he is. He's just reporting to the squad at that point, but not playing.
Yeah, exactly. And they just signed the new guy from Ajax. Same scenario. I don't believe he's going to be able to participate. Rosters should be locked already.
Like, you can't be just bringing in new cats on us 2 weeks before, like.
Yeah.
Y'all gonna overcome the 3-0 margin of Bayern.
Listen, man, crazier things have happened, man. that Chelsea club, man, you can't count them out, man. Never out, man.
Okay, all right. Then we got Napoli, Barcelona. That was tied 1-1. Going into this one.
I'm thinking there.
What Barca team gonna show up is my question.
Right. Is Messi just out shopping right now?
I mean, does Napoli, I mean, I get I kind of feel like Napoli wants more, because I believe Napoli is not even qualifying for Champions League next year.
Probably not.
I think they're on outside right now.
Play a very competitive, competitive league over there in the Serie A, man.
And I think they won the Serie A. I think they won the Serie A Cup too. I think they beat Juventus for that. Was that Inter?
I didn't know that.
Cup. I know Juventus lost to one of them in the final.
I'm not gonna pick against Barcelona, man. They get on a bad day, they should be able to beat these guys on a bad day.
So then we got Real Madrid, Man City. Man City's up 3-1 on that. In the Etihad, too. That's the only game that's not going to be in Portugal.
This is the game everybody wants to watch.
Yeah, no, this is the most – this is your Super Bowl. This is the – this must-see TV right here.
Yeah, creme de la creme, I'd say. Man. Ooh, you want to go – you want to pick first?
I got Man City, man. Like, you – I mean, it's in at Man City, too. And there is no fans, of course, but it's still in your locker room. You get to sleep in your bed, get to kick it, you know.
Wow, that's interesting. You picking your rival.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I mean, we're supposed to be objective a little bit on this podcast. You know what I'm saying?
I'll put that in there. Okay, Mr. Objective. I respect that. I'm going Real Madrid, to be honest with you. I think they travel well, man. I think with that kind of talent, I think they travel well. And I feel like this is we've seen this before. We've seen
when somebody overcame a 3-1 goal deficit and
not perform well under the pressure, man. I think. Real Madrid is more comfortable under this kind of pressure.
My only thing is, does Man City have something to fight more for since they did not win the champion? They did not win the league this year. Or they got a little bit more like they got a little crawl in them a little bit like.
I don't know, man. A lot of these guys probably looking at like this the last bump in the road before vacation. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so you know.
Man, yeah, I mean, but you already had a 3-month vacation already too, though. You could look at it like that as well, like.
That's true, too.
I'm going Man City with that. Then, finally, we got Juventus and Lyon. Lyon's up one game, 1-0 right now.
I'm going to go Juventus.
Yeah, me too, man.
I think so.
I think it can get out of that round at least. I think CR will get you a free kick or something off real quick. He's good for getting somebody gonna mess up and give him a PK.
Oh yeah, he'll make something happen. That's a given. He will make something happen.
So how do you defend CR7? Like in your mind, like if you're like Lion, do you just put three on him and just fuck it? Dybala's gonna get off. Like you just gonna I'm just gonna hope Dybala don't have a good game.
You know, I think. Guys of that caliber, man, it's almost like the Michael Jordan effect where you're not going to stop him. You hope to contain him. Okay. And you have a team defensive policy, you know, where you're going to pay a lot of attention and you try to man mark him too. You know, where one guy all day, you're going to shadow this guy no matter what.
That's what you do. You don't do nothing else. You don't move. You just stay with him.
Yeah, we're going to sacrifice, you know, one of these pawns. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's essentially the only way you can do is try to contain him with a team approach and man mark them.
Is that the same way that you defend Messi as well?
No, I think Messi's a trickier guy to man mark because he'll just wall pass around you, you know, where Messi's going to use the players around him to navigate and make things happen, where Cristiano is more of a one-man wrecking crew. You know, he'll play the team game, but he also wants to go for the gusto. You know, and it has
like he'll be like, "I'm gonna put you on my back. I'm on. Exactly. You know, just like exactly. I got it. Just get me the ball in here, like right here. I'm gonna get it in."
Messi's more ticky tacky to death. You know what I mean? But with precision. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah. It's really two different styles, man. It's just two different styles. Cool. All right, man. We got finally the Europa League, which Man United is gonna win. We just end it right there. We don't even have to even go through the bracket.
Wrap it up.
I mean, we clicking on all cylinders right now. And only way we lose this is if we don't make top four and we just go in there like we just gonna tinker with some stuff.
I like to agree with you on that, but listen, we know Pogba's a prima donna.
But he's in check, though. But he's been in check. Bruno's been keeping him in check.
We've seen this movie before. He's going to be on the back page of one of the UK newspapers. He's going to, you know, light fireworks in his bathroom. He's going to DUI with some model. It's going to be some kind of controversy, man.
But we're in the quarantine. He good. He's going to be just sitting there in Germany, posted up. He can't do nothing. He can't do nothing.
Hey, but I did like the Black Lives Matter fist haircut. Did you catch that?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I think we if we don't win, the only way Europa League only they want us not to make top four because that's the only way that we gonna come in balling with that. You know, because I mean we come in ball. We got something for everybody, man. We if you want to come get it, baby. We finna give it to y'all next week too, man. In this FA Cup, baby. Don't worry, y'all got yours.
Classic delusional.
I mean, we've knocked y'all off twice, and I don't see y'all, and that's without Pogba.
And listen, talk about clicking on all cylinders, man. You see what we doing, man? This youth movement. You know, we got the coach from the real talented coach from within. Mm-hmm. You know, our everything is clicking in Ole London right good, now.
Don't hate on Ole, man.
And we opening up the checkbook as well. You know, money is not going to be an issue. We going to spend what we need to spend to really be competitive. But I think we'll beat you guys. I think it'll be a good game.
No. It's going to be a good game. I mean, I think the other side is what? Man City, Arsenal, I think, is the other side of the FA Cup, right?
Yeah.
Arsenal's been playing. Arsenal came out of – they were horrible. Now they playing.
Hey, you never know who's going to show up, man. And they got a lot of characters on that team.
I mean, Leno's out for the season, right?
He should be.
And Leno was like the best player, I feel like, to me, is Leno. I mean, he's best, damn near the best keeper in the league almost, right?
Their defense is really helter-skelter, you know what I mean? David Luiz, that Brazilian look like Sasho Bob, you know. He can be super talented and do incredible things, or he can just be like –
pass it right to you. Just pass it right to you, like, take it.
J.R. Smith, you know what I mean? J.R. Smith, where you just like, what's going on?
J.R. Smith, that's a good example of J.R. Smith.
He just checked out of the game mentally, man. You do it.
Like, come on, man. Like, Arsenal, I mean, is there any team that you look at moving forward, like, if this is wrapping up here, like, in the EPL where you're like, yo, them cats that nobody thinks about that could be coming up, like, challenging for, like, a Europa League spot? You know, something like where a mid-table team where you'd be like, watch out, these cats is kind of.
You know, I see some teams making some moves. Like I see Everton. You know, I think they're highly motivated because you got Liverpool right across the river. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, St. Louis, East Saint kind of situation. You know what I mean? And they're highly motivated with the success of Liverpool, the history of Liverpool. They're amassing some young talent right now that I think 2, 3, 4 years away, and also cash infusion I'm seeing out there as well. I think that's the dark horse that I see being a middle table, you know, take down a one of these Goliaths potentially.
Is it going to become – is the EPL – is Man City changed the league into more of an arms race? Do you feel like that more? Like, Man U spent money, but, like, Man City's out there, like, I'm going to try to outspend everybody to make y'all bad. Like, where y'all just can't keep up with my, it's like big bank, little bank. Like,
you know, yes and no. I almost kind of look at it like, you know, they were the Yankees of the 90s to the 2000s, where the Yankees would spend the absolute most money to bring in the absolute best talent. That was kind of your Manchester United. When Manchester City came in was when it was more of a ugly stepbrother sort of situation that had a huge cash investment. That oil, Etihad money came in, airline money came in, and they went from being, you know, the redheaded stepchild to being the biggest dude on the block. And that was the paradigm shift of the league, where really you talk about a top four, you really have a top four, top five when it came to spending, and then everybody. That's what we
kind of
had.
Oh, it was something else, though, too, man. Even I just brought about it, looking at my other notes. You hear about this Harry Kane thing that he may be gone, dog. Did we talk about this earlier?
Oh, no, we
no, before no, we yeah. started. Yeah, but, yeah. You know, where do you think he could go? Could he go to Barcelona, though, or something?
I don't see it. I don't see him fitting that system. I don't see him fitting that system. You know. I need more information on this Harry Kane, man. You know, I've never, to be honest with you, I'm not just saying this because it looks like his stock is low, but I've never been super, super impressed with him. You know, sometimes guys just get kind of lucky, and when you got a whole lot of talent around you, you can make somebody that's kind of semi-shit look, you know, pretty solid. Yeah. And I think that's kind of the Harry Kane story. He's not overly athletic. He's not overly creative or, you know, just hot, super off-the-charts IQ. He's just kind of in the right place at the
right
time.
So he's a younger Vardy. He's a younger Vardy.
Yeah, that's a better analogy. But even Vardy, I'd say, at least with Vardy, you say pace. I see something physically in him that sets him above the, you know, Kane is almost average vanilla across the board.
Yeah. Like, I don't get the hype.
Yeah, tell me what he does exceptionally well.
I mean, he's a great finisher.
He's pretty clinical. He's pretty clinical.
He's a good finisher. Yeah. I mean, he benefits a lot from his wingers too, a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, he's getting a lot of quality service. You know what I mean? Where guys are putting balls in good situations where I really just got to get a foot or a deflection or a head on it.
Yep. And that's what he's good at, though. It's just being right there. Like, I'm a tip in, especially them headers, man. He's big good on, like, just getting that little chip header in. On a lob, you know, on a running lob where he's just right there, like, boom. It's not like he's finna hit you up in the right corner or nothing.
But, I mean, when you say, like, you know, is he a good fit for a Barcelona, I think a striker at Barcelona has to do a lot more than that.
You're saying that they set up. You're saying you need a Suarez that's going to take somebody off the dribble type thing. Yeah, where
lead the line, you know, run the channels. You know, he's moving defenders, which opens up things for this super creative midfield you have behind him because of this striker's movement. You know what I mean? As well as, like, ball skills and creativity and, you know, seeing things that other players wouldn't necessarily see. I don't see Harry Kane, you know, checking those kind of boxes. So I'd say, nah, he doesn't fit that system.
And before we wrap up, man, I want to give out a shout out to Money Mason Greenwood, you know, the best 18-year-old on the planet Earth right now.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, man, because we didn't talk about him in pre-production. Yeah. But I saw an article with his name in it talking about some Italian club offered what they call life-changing money. And he stayed with Manchester United, man. Like, do you think that – you guys can hold on to him? Or
yeah, man, we got the paper, baby. We got the paper, baby. We got it, baby. We got it.
Look, so, you talking about bringing in, you know, Sancho.
Yep, yep.
You know,
that front,
already got a,
we got,
you got a super back. Crowded midfield. You don't have enough spots for all of this talent.
Yes,
somebody's
we do, baby. The dream team needs enough spots on the dream team for everybody. It is enough spots for everybody out there, man.
And the last thing you want to do when you're a young player is ride the bench. And
he's not going to ride really the bench, though. He took Mata's spot. He took Lingard's spot. He helped us out because we selling all these cats. Lingard already finna go to West Ham. He just helped expedite this fire sale we got off the bench. Phil Jones gone. But all these cats I wanted to get up out of here, he just helped it out.
Don't be surprised if he pulls a Jordan Sancho, you know what I mean, and say, hey, I can go to a different league, make a boatload of money, and then come back. Maybe that's the path.
I mean, he could though, but we still got a check, baby. We go to check. What you want? we're sliding it to you. I walk out the room. You write down what you want. I'll take it. We'll take it down to billing. We'll take it down to billing.
He's not even a guaranteed starter right now.
Yes, he is. Who's gonna start over him?
Oh, Greenwood?
Who's gonna start over Greenwood?
You got both of your strikers in front of him, Martial and
they ain't starting with him right now.
But that's because what's his name was Rashford.
Rashford's playing with his our front line is Rashford, Greenwood, Martial right now.
Oh wow! Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all cats is hurting on these streets, baby.
So then what you got is so. Okay, that's the top three.
Yep.
Then what? Fernandez.
So we got Fernandez, Pogba, and Matic on the next three, and then okay, our back nice. Four is Wasaka, Shaw, Maguire, and Lindelof.
Does the formation has to change to make room for Sancho though? That's
no,
what, that's
Maddox comes off the bench now, baby. We just that's all we need.
It's gonna be interesting, man.
Or, you know what I'm saying? He just come off the bench, baby. Like we already got it set up.
It sounds good, man.
No, you got I'm telling the best midfield in Europe. You can't tell me that better midfield.
And
on top of that, I was even marketing wise, I'm like, dude, I need to send a marketing. Think about this, almost the whole front line is black.
Yeah, no, and I do like that. You know, definitely, you know, I'm behind
the whole
that.
But it's going to be a lot of leagues, as teams that's going to have a whole front line black coming up because there's a lot of players coming up.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely, man. Definitely.
And this is something I'm glad, you know, as my last thought, that people getting to see a lot of these other black players with this, with the shutdown. Like, a lot of people, like, hitting me up, like, yo, I didn't know these many black dudes play soccer. Like, that it was brothers like that. I was like, dude, like, we've been telling y'all.
No, that's absolutely an absolute super valid point, man, to end on. This shutdown has really allowed people to kind of see how many brothers is involved in this game, love this game, watch this game. It's a huge market, man, and a huge wealth of talent in the next generation is going to change this game for the better.
Yeah, because I think this Champions League, man, this is going to be UEFA's time to really shine. They got to really roll out that plan with the way they pull it out, because this is everybody's going to want. Which I mean, it's going to be in August. What else is going to be going on? Football probably not going to happen now. They're looking like college football is not happening. You got everything right there in front of you. NBA is the only thing that's going to be, and that's going to be later in the evening. You're going to have the whole day. Every day you're going to have from 11 to 4 every day.
We could look at this as a defining moment where soccer took another leap in the hierarchy here in the U.S. And, you know,
I think soccer's going to take over baseball in a second, dog. Sooner than we think, man.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing where you're seeing the black players in baseball dwindle to almost nothing with an incredible boom of African, you know, descendant people in the soccer world. So, man, maybe that's the pendulum shift.
Yeah. Where can everybody hit you up online, man?
Man, at Phoenix Piff on Twitter, man. That's my number one spot, man. Definitely, you know, appreciate everybody.
No IG or nothing? No, you got no IG?
I don't do that, man. I'm not super big on the social, man. Twitter's where I'm at.
All right, thank y'all for listening, man. This has been good. We'll be back next week. Next week is FA Cup.
Yeah, and then MLS, we should get to see a lot of those.
Yeah, because they're playing group stages right now, right?
They had the first game, Thursday, and then I think we got multiple games today, if I'm not
mistaken. Yeah, it's a lot of low-scoring games I saw earlier, though, a lot of 1-0s.
The first one was 0-0, man, but there were chances, though. So it's
okay,
like,
I didn't see the game.
You don't see no chances, but lots of chances that you just couldn't put in the back of the net. Kudos to the goalkeepers, you know?
Yeah, man.
Damn, did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Are you froze up?
Yeah. There you go. Okay, you know Zoom, man, be on that, man. But, yeah, man, thank y'all for listening as always. We'll be back soon. Peace.